And you hear the music. You hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people can't hear it.
Really?
Oh, it's wild. I honestly don't know why.
I hear it.
Beautiful. Gets me fired up to record a podcast. Trying to get lyrics to this thing, man. Been trying for like a year.
Really? Who made it?
Who did that?
Yeah. Damn.
Welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick, and shout out to Senjin Boychuk for that incredible intro outro music. He's out of Regina, Saskatchewan here, about, you know, two provinces over from me, you know, one province over from me. And he is a journeyman electrician, I'm pretty sure, but like he only does that so he can fund his music.
Dude, it's,
yeah, man. We're trying to get him back on
right there, man.
We had him on the podcast, I think, around episode 14, and this is 106. So, like, it's been a while, you know, yeah. And the incredible guy, man. And, you know, I'm trying to get lyrics added to it. I don't know if he wants to add the lyrics to it or if I should, you know, send it to someone else and add the lyrics to it. But
you don't want to sing on it?
What's that?
You don't want to sing on it?
No. Nobody needs to hear that, man. Nobody needs to hear that. man, that's, yeah. And so, you know, I'm excited for today's episode. You know, I'm very excited to have John on from the Forgotten Working Class podcast, you know. And
John, I'm definitely excited to be here.
Yeah, man. John brings a unique side to, you know, the whole blue collar thing. I've had a lot of guys on before that have been injured at work, but it was just a small injury and they were able to go right back, or had just a couple weeks off or a month off or whatever. But like you, it was a significant injury, and it essentially ended your career.
Yeah. That's the hard part.
Yeah, that's the hard part, man. Yeah. And that's wild, dude. And so, yeah, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. Doing good today. That's good. Weather's nice down here in Florida right now. It's, I think, what are we at? 73 degrees right now.
I think it's a beautiful minus 10 right now. So, you know, it's warm. It's warm. Oh, trust me. It's warm. We're it's supposed to be like 2 degrees or something, like plus 2 degrees in like the next day or two. A few days ago, it was minus 35, man, minus 40. You know, it's, you know, we're
wild, dude. I couldn't do it. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah. Oh, dude, honestly, years of just conditioning, right? Like once you work up here in these conditions, I think you can survive anywhere, right? Like minus 58 is the coldest I've worked in.
That's crazy. I don't know how you can function.
It's hard, but like, you know, when they say it's hot, right? You can take off all your layers and stuff like that. Well, what if, when you get down to your skin, you really can't take any more off?
Exactly. In the winter,
you can put more on, but at the same time, the more layers you have on, the harder it is to move, the more of a danger it becomes, right? Minus 40 and ish or so, minus 40 to minus 50 is not that bad when there's no wind. You throw a little bit of wind in there, it's hell, right? But, you know, minus 40 with no wind, it's easy, man. But for the most part, you know, I have a t-shirt on, and then I have my long sleeve, it's like a wool sweater, and then I have my coveralls on. And then if it gets too cold, I'll throw my parka on. But like that parka, man, like it's like an incinerator. It's hot and underneath that thing, right?
I think the coldest,
you're moving, you keep moving, you're fine.
The coldest I think I've ever had to work in, I think it was negative 15. That was in New Hampshire. And that alone, I was like, this is I'm not about this. Because every time you bust your knuckles, it like hurts 100 times worse because of cold it is. That's terrible. So negative 40, negative 50, I'm all right. You keep that.
I think it was around the time we were recording your podcast, because I recorded with you. I don't know if it was just before or just after, but I had frostbite on my ears, right? So I went outside. I was outside working, and I went out for 15 minutes, and I'm like, shit, man, my ears are a little cold. I didn't have my toque on me, right? I'm like, where's my toque, right? I'm like, fuck, couldn't find it. And then I went back in the truck, and it took a few minutes to warm them up. I'm like, you know, just warming them up, doing my thing. You can't apply direct heat on that, right? Because it just makes it worse. And then, you know, about 25 minutes later, I went back outside for another 10, 15 minutes. And when I came back in, this time it took like an hour and a half or so for them to get feeling back in my ears. But they stuck. they stung, and they were really red. And then, you know, they're still peeling a little bit. You know, they're still peeling. It's like a sunburn, right? It peels. And but right after that, I found a toque. It was in my jacket pocket the whole time. So I put the toque on and I went to work, and it was fine after that. But I've had some frostbite on my ears, right, before. That's why. So I'm susceptible to it easily again, right? So my ears are pretty sensitive that way. So it's the only part of my body that gets cold.
So it's like a sort of peels, like a sunburn?
Yeah, it peels like a sunburn. It's dead skin, right?
That's crazy. I didn't know that it does that. That's crazy.
If it gets too bad, yeah. If it gets extreme, then they need to cut it off or whatever. But, like, you know, I've never had frostbite like that before. I know a guy last year I worked with, he was out on a rig, and he was like 70 years old, man. He is 70 years old. And it was his first couple of days. And he went outside during the cold snap. It was like minus 50. He went outside and he's like, I didn't want to be looked at as a wussy and I didn't want to be told I was lazy. And so I didn't go warm up. The guy lost two toes and a finger. Yeah. And he just said it casually.
Jesus.
He just said it casually. We're like walking around and he's like, yeah, man, my toes, they hurt. I'm like, oh, what happened? He's like, oh, I think I'm going to have to go home and get them cut off. I'm like, what? He's like, oh, that cold snap. I got frostbite. They're all black now. And oh, yeah, I'm going to lose two. And a couple days later, he's like, I was talking to my doctor and I sent him a video and yep, I got to get my toes cut off when I go home. And the guy kept working. And then he goes home and he was home for a few weeks, comes back. He's like, I got no toes. I lost two of my toes and a finger. Like, what are you doing?
That's crazy. Yeah, dude. Jesus. Yeah, I don't have to worry about the whole frostbite to the ears, you know.
Yeah. Can you even hear me, Doug? What?
Yeah, I get that one all the time. You can hear out of that side? I'm like, yeah, the hole's still like, there. Perfectly. It, yeah. Can you hear
it really? Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's pretty wild to me. So, man, like, take me for a walk, man. Take me for a walk on that day. Like, what the hell happened, man?
So, I don't know much of the day. I don't remember a lot of it. Bits and pieces. So I was electrocuted. I was working on a heavy piece of machinery, piece of mining machinery. And the machine I was working on, it's powered off of 4160. So while working on it, I don't know how, I don't know what happened, but I was electrocuted to the top of the head right here by 4,160 volts. Hit me here, come out the back of my neck. From there, you know, the fire department had to get me to the helicopter. They did say that I stood up and tried to walk away. They said they had to strap me to the gurney, get me in the helicopter. I don't remember none of this. They flew me to the first hospital, which is pretty local. That first hospital told my wife, like, hey, there's nothing, you know, they did the trach in my throat. And from there, they literally told my wife there was nothing else they could do. They said that he has to go down to the burn unit down in either north or south. So we went to Miami, which is Jackson Memorial. It was Ryder Trauma Center. And that is where they saved my life. I coded two times. I died twice. They brought me back. I was in a coma for 9 days. Waking up out of the coma was extremely, like, it was scary and confusing all at the same time. Because one, I thought I had to get up and go to work. That was my first reaction. It was like, get out of bed, get dressed, let's go. I'm not getting chewed out, not today. But then my wife was standing there, which I had no clue who she even was. I had no idea. And she was like, hey, you're not going anywhere. You were hurt at work. And I was like, what? Was, no, no. So as this is all happening, I'm trying to talk. And I couldn't even talk because of the trach in my throat. So she had a whiteboard that I would write on. And so I was trying to write, looked like a 3-year-old trying to write out words. My brain knew what I wanted to say, but it would just, yeah, you just come out like crayons, like, yeah.
You just say, so fuck, you don't understand what I'm saying. You just start eating.
Yeah. Like, fuck. Yeah. Like, I'm done with it. Just eat the shit. And then she asked me, you know, my wife said, do you know who I am? Do you remember your kids? She showed me pictures of my kids. No idea. I was like, I don't know. No. So she was devastated, you know, thought
it's like that 50 first dates, bro.
Yeah. So she, yeah. So she thought I was like gone. And then sitting in the hospital, you know, I'm in the hospital bed and she left because, you know, visiting hours are over. So she left, and I just sat there and laid in bed, because now I'm awake. I'm out of the coma. I'm drugged up. I couldn't go back to sleep, because now it's starting to kick in. Like, I'm in the hospital. You know, why am I here?
Yeah.
Now I'm really confused, and all I could do is stare at the wall, and the wall had so in the hospital, they have like a big calendar on the wall, and it's a whiteboard calendar, and it's for the nurses to come in to say what nurse is here, you know, the time she checked on me, the time, all that stuff. And the date kept like just standing out to me. And I just kept looking at the date, and then bam, like a truck just hit me. That's my wife's birthday.
Shit.
So I was like, I know that date. So finally I realized that it's my wife's birthday. I was like, oh, that's Tiffany's birthday. And without like, just like that, man, all my memory for who my kids are and stuff, that came back. So the next morning when she walked in, I wrote happy birthday on the whiteboard and held it up as she walked in, and she just started crying, because then she knew, now I remember.
You're back.
Yeah. So then for the first like couple days, I didn't see myself. She refused to let me look in the mirror, because like, I mean, you can't really tell now, but I'm trying to do this with the camera.
Yeah.
But like here, like all the way up to here, this whole side of my face.
You can kind of see like it's a little different there, but like barely.
You can barely see it, but it was so bad that you could wipe the skin off with like a paper towel. It would just come off like it was like goo. And she didn't want me to see myself like that, because I was still processing that.
That's gotta be tough, man. That's gotta be really tough, like mentally too, right?
Yeah. I mean, at that point, I have no clue what's really going on. You know, it's all starting to set in. So then that's when I started talking to doctors. They started talking to me, really. You know, telling me that this is what happened. All the tissue on your head is pretty much dead. So then they unwrapped my head and let me see it. And that's when I got to see all of this was my skull exposed. And then on this side was all my skull exposed.
Did you have hair at one point?
Yeah.
Dude, we're like the same people now, right? And I didn't even have to have an accident, bro. Like, like,
so actually,
maybe soft spot in that one spot now too? Like,
yeah. So yeah, if you push, watch, ready?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Is that your brain?
It's not my brain, but it's like the blood pressure in your head. You know, if you cough.
Oh no, moves, dude, man. Yeah. So when you woke up, were there like Marvel agents waiting for you or what?
Like, was there what?
Marvel agents. Like,
no, I wish.
Were they recruiting you, or have they tried to recruit you for Marvel? Like, you
know, no, dude, I'm waiting for them to be like, yo, you want to be a Deadpool stunt double? Yeah. Put me in, bro.
You don't want to walk in the shadow of Deadpool though, man. You want to be your own guy. Like I said on your podcast, man, you're kind of like Raiden, you know, like your eyes could like you know go all like blue.
Kind of
shoot like electricity and shit. Who in Marvel? Oh, I guess Thor is sort of electrical like that, but like he's got the hammer and shit. And Mjolnir.
I get the Flash. Everyone's like, so did you turn it? You know, because Flash was hit by lightning and that's how he became super fast.
Yeah.
Everybody asked me that one. Can you run faster? Yeah, I can run a little faster. You know, without my ear right here, I'm more aerodynamic.
Yeah. Oh shit. Yeah. Like the other ear you got there is like
a drag right here, bro. This like, one, you know, it's pretty close.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like, man, they should like find an ear, put it on the back of your head, like at the top there. It's like a spoiler, right? Like, you know.
Like a little kick out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some downforce.
Hey, at least that's amazing though that your wife stuck by you, right? Because like, you know, like it's amazing that your wife has stuck by you, you know,
Yep.
We can't say she was with you for your looks, right? It had to be in that big dick, right? Like you got to have a big one now, right?
I don't know if it's about that either, but hopefully, right?
Dude,
I can just dream.
Do you shoot lightning bolts out of your dick now?
No, it'd be sweet though. I mean, it'd be cool, but then it'd be kind of terrifying at the same time. Take a piss and you're shooting lightning out.
Oh my god, dude!
It'd be pretty wild,
dude. That would be okay. I gotta ask: are you like God-fearing or what? Like, I know Florida, you know, God's waiting room and shit like that, and like Catholic, Christian, whatever. Like, because
no, I've never been
like these kind of jokes, right? And like, I gotta watch sometimes.
See, me, I've never been religious.
Okay. Cool. But you definitely thank God that day, though. Like, God was there saying, you know, come to the light, my son.
I get. Well, see, I've never seen a light. I never saw a light.
There was a tunnel, but there was no light at the end of it.
I get that question, you know, did you see light? So I actually remember like 80% of my coma.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that is a lot of my my PTSD stems from a lot of that. Now, it has, you know, I have a lot of issues from in the hospital dealing with the pain. I can remember a lot of it, and it was just traumatizing. But the coma was probably my worst thing out of it, dude. It was like nightmare after nightmare. And it felt so real that it was terrifying. Like, there was nothing you could do. And it became like a part that I figured out that I was stuck in my own head. And at that part, it was like, that was probably the scariest of all. But there was two times in my coma that I was having these nightmares and dreams. And like that, like a flick of a light switch, everything was black. And I was standing in all blackness. And the best way I can describe this is, if you ever watched Stranger Things?
Never seen Stranger Things. I want to, but I've never watched it.
Bro, never seen Stranger Things?
Never.
Oh, I get that. Vecna, the bad character in there. I get that all the time. They're like, are you Vecna? No, it's not me, but it could be. Oh, shit. But in Stranger Things, there's a scene where she's standing in all blackness, and that's like the best way I can describe it.
So this happened to you, what, 4 years ago?
Five years ago.
So, like, what have you been doing for the last 5 years? You can't work anymore, right?
Work anymore, and that crushed me.
Yeah.
Any blue-collar men that, you know, and women that are watching right now, to have your complete career taken from you and your pride, your passion, it was so rough to accept it.
Yeah.
And so we started. Tiffany ended up pushing me to start social media. And I bet you know that it was really hard to start like talking to a camera.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is weird, bro. I don't like this. This is not who I am. This is weird.
Yeah.
And I started to do a couple videos here and there. It was okay. You know, I would do here and there. And then she wanted to start a blue collar apparel line. So we did. It's arcing ahead.
Yeah. You know,
electrocuted to the head, arcing ahead.
Yeah.
So we did that. And we have up to 100 different trades right now in our apparel. So after the apparel, social media started to pick up. And I seen that I started getting more followers. Everybody want to hear my story. So then I was like, all right, this is pretty cool. You know, I enjoy this. And then it got better because I started getting people who have been either in the same situation, hurt somehow at work, maybe not even at work, just been hurt and has scars and they don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to, you know, accept the scars. You know, they're still ashamed of them. To me, there's nothing you can do about it. What's done is done.
You got those scars sacrificing. You laid it all on the line.
Yeah, I mean.
Right? And that happens. Yeah, that sucks. But like, it happened because you were a man every fucking day.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, if anybody got hurt, you know, you're outside playing and you get hurt and you have all these scars, you get, you know, in a fire or whatever. I don't think anybody should ever feel ashamed of their scars. You know, your scars they're with you for life now, and you have to accept them and move on because you can't.
I got a scar, and it's on my foot, and I dropped. I tell everyone I had a piranha as a kid, and I tell
did
everyone,
you really
I did yeah I tell everyone it was really like this big. I tell everyone that my buddy dared me to stick my foot in there after he didn't eat for a couple days, and when I did, he took a chunk out of it. But what really happened was I dropped a jar of jam on my foot and it broke, and I had to go, I got three stitches. It's on my foot. I tell everyone my piranha bit it, but it didn't. It's just a cool story. It's cooler than jam.
No more peanut butter and jelly for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No more peanut butter and jelly for me, bud. You know? But I do have a scar that runs through my left eye, though. Like, right. I don't know if we talked about it on your
podcast. So Hit me with that one. You got hit with a band, right?
Yeah, metal band. Yeah, metal band. That's why my eye looks a little lower than this one. And you know, I can't really see 100% out of it, but it's better. And I've learned to look above and around the side of the scar, right? The doctors were like, well, what? You can see this? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, you're learning to look above it and below it and around it. My peripherals are great, right? And yeah, the band, I was 22 or whatever. We got a bundle of pipe to come in. I wasn't wearing my safety glasses. I cut it open, the band, and it happened in a split second. Band,
yeah.
Hit me back.
Yeah, you think those things are tight, bro.
Yeah, luckily it was the flat side and not the sharp end, right?
Yeah.
I would have like probably stuck right in, but the flat end came up and hit me, and you know, I sat there and I had to go to the hospital and whatnot. They referred me to a specialist. I'm like, you're gonna need surgery. And I said to my coworker when I went back into work the next day, I'm like, I told them I need surgery. And I'm like, just watch. If they're gonna get rid of me, it's gonna be sometime in the next like couple weeks here before my surgery. And one day they called me up and I said to my coworker, I'm like, hey man, it was good.
No, it is. Yeah.
And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, dude, they're gonna get rid of me. I'm 22 and I already know this. I know how they play. I get into the office and I'm met with by my boss and a corporate lawyer, right? And I'm like, oh shit, there it is. And I was 22. I just, when they threw a number at me, I'm like, fuck yeah. And I signed. I signed my life away on the dotted line. I took it. It was a year's salary, right? And I'm like, fuck yeah. And I hadn't been there for 3 months yet. Keep that in mind, right? So, right? It wasn't even there for 3 months.
They did pretty good for you.
They did pretty good, but I could have got more, right? I could have got, that's yeah. Why they gave me that to start, right? They're like, hey, this guy's young. He doesn't know any better. We're going to give him a year because, you know, that sounds fair.
Well, yeah. I mean, him. 3 months on the job and they're offering you a year salary up front. Here you go. It's like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I'll tell you, man, all I saw was that number. I'm like, let me sign, boy, you know? And like, but looking back, you know, 12 years later, 13 years later, everyone's like, man, you could have got more, right? And I'm like, dude, you don't think I know that? You don't think that, you know, I probably could have had a good, healthy 2-3 years of doing nothing, right? But, you know, 22, didn't care, and I'm not like that anyways. I probably would have went back to work anyway right after, which yeah. I did. You know, I had to sleep sitting up for like 6 months because of the bubble, the buckle that was in the eye. It placed some pressure on the eye. And then, you know, after about a week of that, so the next day after my surgery, I had to go for like a post-op. And they took the bandage off. They shone this bright light right into the eye. And I'm like, my body went into shock, dude. Like I was sitting in the waiting room afterwards and I'm like, oh, I don't feel good at all. My wife's like, I'll go get you a ginger ale. I'm like, yes, please. By the time she got back, that feeling had passed. But we went to the grocery store or the pharmacy right away immediately after, and I got an eye patch, and I scared little kids in the mall with it for like weeks. I'm like, fuck, this is awesome. You know, like, I'm not a butt pirate or anything, but like, I'm definitely still a pirate, you know, like.
Stranger danger.
So you were talking about, you know, you started your social media, right? And then you jumped into your clothing line. And then how did you get to a podcast, dude? Like, how did you be like, hey, you know what? I need a podcast.
So once again, the social media started taking off. My TikTok started really going up. And we kept getting people reaching out, you know, hey, I was hurt at work. You're an inspiration, this and that you can, you know, you can move on in life. Which, don't get me wrong, guys. I went through a crazy amount of depression. It took me a while to be able, and I still have my bad days, but it took me a while to be able to like start to move on. You know, I still don't know to this day what happened. So it always haunts me. You know, you have that, like, there's no closure. So we started having people reach out, talking about their situation. I was hurt here. This, that. Well, Tiffany, once again, the wife, she crushes it. She was like, hey, what if we started a podcast for blue collar men and women? You know, the ones that we just, the average blue collar men and women, we're not looking for social media stars. I want to hear from the real people.
Yeah.
So we did, we started that, and it went from hearing from blue collar men and women to, all right, well, let's also have people have been hurt on the job or off the job. And then we wanted people with unique disabilities, you know, let's get them on to talk about their experience in life and how it all affects them. So that's how it started. And I mean, it we've had such awesome people that it truly is so much fun to do it. I love talking to the, you know, new guests. I love talking with, we've had other people come on for different episodes for a second episode. It's fun. It's enjoyable. And it really helped me. Her biggest thing was to get me back in the blue collar community.
Yeah.
Because like I said, not being able to go back to the mining industry, it crushed me. It killed me. You know, it took my man card away is what that's how I felt. Like I was like less of a man now. You know, I can't provide for my family being blue collar. What else do I do in life? So it put me in the position where I could talk to blue collar men and women and have that interaction and still hear about the trades. And then it really took off that I get to learn about all these different trades I've never got to work in. And I was like, this is awesome, dude. Like I get to hear everything, like the linemen, the oil rigs, the tugboats, towboats, I mean, oil fields, welders, you know, I know welding and stuff like that, but the pipelines, I've never worked on any of that stuff. I was a miner. So to hear all that, it's awesome. I love it.
That's exactly the perspective I've had.
Yeah.
Because it originally started off as like just an oil field thing, right? I was just going to do oil and gas workers, right? And then, you know, it's like you can only hear about pipeliners and oil rig guys and mining for so long before it becomes redundant, right? Like it's the same story. And then it was like, well, no, let's branch out and talk to people that, you know, do other things, welding outside of the oil and gas industry, like commercial welding and commercial, you know, pipe fitting and stuff like that. And, you know, and it went from there. And then I quickly, you know, wow, man, I'm learning about industries I'll never work in.
Yeah.
Right? I'm learning about people that I would never talk to. Right. And so now like it happened. I noticed that I was at a strip club 2 summers ago and I didn't want to go. It was a Wednesday night. So the lineup wasn't great. Right. So
like, 10 in the morning lineup wasn't great.
Yeah. I was at the strip club in Edson, Alberta at the Moose. Everyone knows what the Moose is. And so I was there. My coworkers convinced me to go out. My wife's like, you need to get out and do something other than social media. Right. Cause live streaming and making videos was consuming my life.
Right? Yeah, dude. It's a lot.
I had to take a step back. And so I get there and you know, it's like 9 o'clock at night. Ended up fucking social networking the whole time I'm there. Anyways, the owner of the club recognized me. He comes up. He's like, Dick Frost. He sat with me the whole night. People in the club were like, Dick Frost is here. What's up? You know, end up walking out with a couple people's phone numbers, including the club owner. But the club owner sat with us. So all the strippers, I almost called our hookers. Wow. All the strippers sat with us. Right. And, one in particular, Miss BJ Worldwide, 2 million followers on the gram. Miss BJ Worldwide from Saskatchewan. She sits with us and we're talking. Her boobs are hanging out in front of my face while she's talking, and I'm not even looking at them. I'm looking at her. And I'm like, the podcaster came out at me. I'm like, so what made you want to get into this line of work?
Started hitting an interview right there.
Dude, yes. It was like, man. And my coworker's sitting there like, man, are you an idiot? Like, she doesn't want to do this right now. And she's like, well, you know, like, I dropped out of school and, you know, I had a kid and I needed to pay for my kid. And I'm like, oh yeah. So like, you know, how long do you plan on doing this for? It became like a podcast thing. And then you could tell she started getting annoyed. She's like, if you're not going to throw money at me, I'm walking away. Right. And so, yeah, man, it was like, all right. So she walked away and I just realized it clued in what I had just done. And like, that's how I try to approach every conversation now. It's like, you know what? Like, I'm interested in what you do. I like you as a person and I want to know about you. Right. And it's funny that I did that to a stripper.
Same thing, bro. It's out in public. I start talking to people because, you know, walking around with the scars I have.
Yeah.
People, they see it and they're like, what happened? And, you know, most people don't want to ask, but they look at me and I if I make eye contact with you and you lock that eye contact, I'll talk to you. I'll say, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to know what happened, I have no problem telling you what happened. I don't care. No, yeah, I got electrocuted and this is what it is. I'll show you all my scars and people. They always are like, oh my God. But I always start talking to people and then I always get these people. I'm like, yo, what do you do for work? What do you do for a living? You know, oh, I'm a welder and this and that. How long have you been doing that? Oh yeah. Hey, I have a podcast. If you ever want to be a guest, talk about everything you do. Really?
Yeah.
And I love it because people, you know, the average Joe, the most know, down to earth people, when you ask them, do you want to be on a podcast? They're like, what? Like, yeah, you're serious? And I'm like, yeah, why me? That is a question I get a lot.
Special. People think they got to be special to be on a
podcast. No.
No, man. I put it out on Threads. I don't know if you know what Threads is, but I put it on Threads.
I've seen it. I haven't done it.
Yeah. I wrote, like, who here is blue collar and wants to come on my podcast? And it's one of the most interacted with posts I have on Threads. And you got people with like 50 followers or no followers. Yeah. Going, hey, this is what I do for work. I'd love to come on your podcast. And I'm like, man, let's go. Right. Like, you know, it's really cool that, and people just want to be a part of something, right? Yeah. Everyone has a story, you know, like, and what I find with blue collar all the time is that we got into this line of work to simply make money. Right. We have other passions. Right. And a lot of people, I work with a guy, you'd never know it looking at him. He's an actor, right? He does this until in between acting gigs. Right. He's a back truck driver and he was in Last of the Mohicans. I don't know if you've seen that movie. He was in Last of the Mohicans. He was an extra in that show Outsider or Outlander, which I watch a lot. He's in an upcoming movie that he couldn't say what, but, and he's just a vac hauler working night shift a lot, tired, exhausted, you know, getting covered in shit. And he's like, yeah, man. And I'm like, dude, you should come on my podcast. And he looks at me and he's like, I'd be down, right? I'd be in. Dude, let's do it, right? And he asked me, I saw him, that was 2 months ago, I asked him, he saw me just before we went home for Christmas, and he's like, how's the podcast coming? Otherwise, he would have known the podcast existed, we wouldn't have had that conversation, and wouldn't have opened up that connection, right? And he's like, how's the podcast coming, man? I'm like, good. He's like, still on to have me on? And like, still down to have me on? I'm like, yeah, man, I'm down, let's go. He's like, all right, in the new year, man. He's like, well, I'll be on your podcast. I'm like, sounds good. It's like, I've never been on one before. And the guy I just had on my podcast, his episode comes out not tomorrow, but the next Tuesday. I asked him to come on, and he was all like, yeah, man, no one's ever had me on their podcast before, you know? And the guy's got a decent following, and, you know, he's funny. He's blue-collar, but he doesn't make blue-collar videos, right? So you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man, he's really interesting. He's from one spot, works in another, lives in a completely another spot, right? He's from the east coast of Canada, works here in Alberta, lives on the west coast of the US. So yeah, man.
Yeah, I like asking anybody, because the question, man, I tell you, I get that question a lot, is the why me?
Yeah, why me?
And I'll have people, you know, they reach out because they think maybe it's a scam too. I've had people like, I don't understand why you'd pick me. Is there a reason you picked me? And I'm like, you look interesting.
Yeah.
I like your videos. I seen that you have three videos out of, that's it. You only have three videos and they're on an excavator. You're blue collar. I want to hear from you. Well, I only have I've had somebody's, you know, I only have like 20 followers. You could have two followers. I don't care.
Yeah.
As long as you're a good person and, you know, you want to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about it.
Yeah, man. 100%. And, you know, like, sometimes you need to reach out to those people with bigger followings to come on. Right? You need to have that too, because you know they'll help push your things, your stuff out.
Yeah.
A lot of people, oh, you're using this person or they're using you. Well, no, we're using each other and we know that, right? Like I'm having you on, you've got a big following, you know, and you had me on. I don't have as big of a following as you, but like, you know, I can push yours out. Other people that don't know about you will find you. And that's other people that don't know about me will find me. And we can, you know, you've had a lot of the same people I've had on my podcast.
Yes.
Right. You know, and I've told you
which about. Which is amazing to me. I got, so yeah. I actually had a guest last week.
Yeah.
That she told me it was her first time ever being on a podcast. And she was absolutely awesome. Crushed it. And then when we were done talking, she said, that was awesome. And I was nervous, but after doing that, I'm super comfortable and that helps me. And I was like, oh yeah. She said, yeah, I have two more podcasts I have to do in the next couple of weeks. And I was like, oh really? She's coming on to yours next.
Which one is it? Who is that?
Oh man. I can't think of a name off the top of my head.
So speaking of people that are injured, right?
God.
I don't think he got injured at work, but like, have you heard of the limb loss boss?
The who?
Limb loss boss.
No.
He's like, he got injured in a car accident like 12 years ago or whatever, 10 years ago. He has no legs and he works in the oil and gas industry and he's out of Illinois. And he had prosthetics, but he spent the last couple of years. I've had him on, but like he had to go. We had a strict time period, and he had to go before we were finished. That was last year. We're trying to get like that going, right? He spent the last 2 years working with a company to give him like bendable legs, right? And Limloss Boss is an incredible human being. And if you watch his videos, he's got like 3 million followers, I think it is. And like the guy's incredible. Just a down-to-earth, humble dude who lost his legs in a car accident that just slays it every day at work, you know? That's and awesome. You should check him out, man. But yeah. That's wild. I'm trying to think of who I've got.
I feel terrible because I my brain doesn't work the way it should.
Mm. Yeah. So where can people find, what is the name of your podcast first and foremost? Forgotten Working Class. Okay. And where can people find that? Like
you can find it on YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast. I think that's it.
That's amazing, man. I love that you're doing that.
Stephanie.
What's her name?
Stephanie.
Oh,
she works in the oil fields.
Salt, Stephanie. Oh, fuck, dude. Yeah. I reach out to so many people and we've got so many lined up, dude, that like I go back through my, dude.
She's coming on soon, she said, but I'll tell you, man, she crushed it. She was an awesome guest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Man, you know,
she's super excited because I told her, I was like, I had him on. And she was like, really? I was like, yeah. I was like, he's awesome. I was like, you're going to love his podcast. I was like, easy to talk to. You'll do great. So she's pumped.
Well, thanks for pumping my tires, man. Like, you know, like,
how do, dude? You're easy to talk to. Got to tell the people.
Are you saying I'm easy? You saying I'm easy?
Well, hey.
Hey. You gotta wine me and nine me first, brother. You know, like
a steak dinner.
So you have, yeah, you have a service dog now, right? Too.
I do.
That was, yep. I saw your service dog. He's off getting trained right now, or is he at home?
She's off. Whoa, dude.
Man, don't assume. I just assumed his gender. Holy moly!
I actually had to buy her a pink vest because she's a Belgian Malinois, and. She just looks mean. I mean, she's an intimidating looking dog, and which I get it because it is natural to look at her and be like, wow, he is gorgeous. And I'm like, it's a she, her name's Lucy. And they're like, oh, my bad. I'm like, no, I get it. Cause you look at it. It's just how you think. And you're like, oh, he's a killer. And it's like, it's a she, but I had a purple vest on her and they still would be like, he's a good looking dog. And I'm like, okay, so I went hot pink service vest. Nice. She's awesome. Awesome dog.
That's definitely good, man. Helped. So, like, what is she? You're not blind. You're not deaf. Mm-hmm. Like, so is it for PTSD? Do you need, you need the dog? Okay.
Yep. Yeah, so she's actually in training. We're continuing training. So she has to do her PTSD training for me, her service dog. And then when she hits almost a year old, she can be certified, DOT certified service dog. Okay. Right now she's not 100% certified. She's in training, but she goes everywhere I go. And she's being taught to pretty much alert me when my anxiety, you know, I start really getting upset and I don't really know it because it happens all the time. Yeah. You know, something will trigger me and I don't even realize it. And I start getting upset. My anger will go up. My anxiety goes up. She starts letting me know what's happening and she gets all excited and beside herself. And like, she'll jump on me and she'll like push against me. And you can tell that she's telling you something's wrong.
Yeah. That's pretty neat that dogs and animals can feel that.
Incredible.
Right? Like you got ones that like alert you to seizures that are about to happen. They know before you do. And the dog like forces you to sit down and like pats the pillow like, hey, I'm here. Like chill out, right? Like you're gonna go through this and I'm here for you, you know? And that's incredible that animals can they have that sense.
It's crazy, dude, how like it is. They have that sense how intelligent they are and everything. It's nuts to me. It really is. After getting her and like watching different videos of service dogs and especially like the Belgian Malinois, they're so smart.
Yeah.
To watch these videos of what they can do and what people can teach them. It blows me away because you're like, that's the dog.
Yeah. No, man. Like, hey,
look how smart it is. It's crazy to me.
I look at a dog as someone that's gonna fetch a bone, sit around all day licking its nuts, and it's like completely chew everything, right? You look at a dog differently, right? Like, you know, maybe you're gonna lay around licking your nuts a little bit. Well, it's a girl, so like maybe not. But like, you know, but you look at a dog as like, hey, this dog's gonna like keep me from losing my shit.
Yeah,
that's incredible. Yeah,
it's amazing. She's awesome.
Yeah, man. Hey, I was wondering, do you know what viscosity is?
Say it again.
Do you know what viscosity is?
I don't.
It's the resistance of flow, like you know, like the thickness of a fluid.
Okay. Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Where I'm going with it is the Mudman or the podcast. Wow, the Mudman is sponsored by the podcast. No, the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman, and the Mudman deals in viscosity, right? When they're drilling, on the drill rigs when they're drilling down hole. Right, you need to have some viscosity down there. You need to have the, you know, the thickness of the flow needs to be, you know, if it's too thin, it needs to be more viscous, and if it's not viscous enough, or if it's too viscous, it needs to be thinned out, right? And I did a poor ass job of explaining that, but like, hey, you know what? There are times where it's good, there are times where it's bad, but like, you know, he basically deals in the thickness of your load, right? And as how old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
I'm 36.
As a man in your mid-30s, I'm right there with you. Our loads will never be thicker than they are right now. It's true. And who knows? You're like a superhero now. Maybe your loads will be thicker forever. I don't know. But you never know, man, the viscosity flowing through those veins, boy, they might be like top-notch, right? And so the Mudman deals and all that stuff for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs. The Mudman's got your back, right? So www.mudmanmarket.com. The Mudman helped at the beginning of the podcast, the first like 14 episodes or so. I didn't have a mic and I didn't have a headset, and then the audio was terrible, right? And a lot of that had to do with service as well, like being in camp and whatnot, or in hotels with shitty service. It happens. And so he helped out with that. And this past summer, he asked, hey, what do we need to make the show extra, right? And so I now record the podcast on this MacBook Pro, right? He got me a MacBook Pro, and I don't need the headset and the mic as much anymore because the MacBook Pro is pretty incredible. The audio is great and the picture's great and all that stuff. I still use it once in a while. I think I need a new mic, but whatever. We're working on that. But yeah, man, the Mudman, he's helped this show so much, right?
That's and awesome. Shout out to the Mudman.
Yeah, shout out to the Mudman. He came in right at the beginning, you know, and like not right at the beginning, but him and I, our relationship precedes the podcast anyway. It supersedes it. I don't know. It predates the podcast anyway. Like it.
Yeah.
He knew me from the internet, and I lived close to where he was, and you know, oil and gas and whatnot. And the Mudman is down to ride, dude. There was a guest I wanted on the podcast last year who lives in Texas, and I did not know how to get a hold of this guy. I found him. He's completely dark on the web, right? And he was a part of a big tragedy that happened in the Gulf of Mexico, involving an offshore rig, and I couldn't find him anywhere. And the Mudman's like, I have connections all over the oil patch. You leave me the name and I'll find him for you. 8 hours later, this guy had me his phone number. Within 8 hours. Yeah, I called him and he's like, hey, man, I'm not really into this kind of thing. It was a tragedy that happened. People died. I was severely injured. And, you know, like, I don't know if I want this, but call me back in 2 weeks. Give me 2 weeks. Call me back. I call him back. He blocks my number. Right. Oh. And so I've called. That's not a no to me. I've spent the last year every time I'm near someone, like, give me your phone. I go and I call him from their phone. I bet you he has all of Canada blocked at this point. But the Mudman said to me, he's like, if you can get this guy on the podcast, that's not a podcast you do virtually. He's like, I will pay for you to go there and do it in person. And so that just made me want it more. Right. And now I want to do more. He's trying to move into Texas. He's trying to move in other places. So like, now, you know, now I'm looking for that, right? Because now I know the Mudman's down to ride, and maybe he'll come with me, and you know, we'll go there, right? And the Mudman listens to every episode. I pump the shit out of that guy, right? Like, I love that guy.
I love
that guy so much. I'd give him a hand job in a back alley. You can bet your ass on that, right?
Hey, I'm watching. You're good.
Hey, I don't care if anybody's watching. Nobody's watching. Man, I want everyone to see. You know what I mean? I want everyone to see when I'm holding my wife's hand. I want everyone to see me give that guy some love. You know, like, yeah, man. Yeah, he's an incredible person, man. So yeah, and that's and awesome. Also recently, just in the last couple months, and it's not 100% official yet. I've been saying it is. I found out what else I need, but BetterHelp sponsors the podcast, or will be sponsoring the podcast, right? You know, mental health. You go through Absolutely. It. We've gone through yep. it a lot in the last little bit. Mental health in the blue collar industry is huge, right? It's yep. huge everywhere, but we're a bunch of men full of testosterone that don't want to talk about it, you know, and it's been beaten into us for the last century not to talk yeah. about, right? So now it's taken all these years, and it's going to take a few more to beat that out of us, right? It's been beaten into us for a century not to. Now we got to spend the next however long talking about getting it out, right? So
absolutely, you need to. It's something that's not talked about enough.
100%.
You know, like you said, it's that's how we were raised. You push it down. You push it down, get your ass yep. up, get back to work.
Yep. And like, look at you, for example, man. You come out of a coma, and the first thing you think about is, I'm late for work. I got to yep. get going, right? And that's insane.
But that's how we're wired.
That's how we're wired.
That's how it is. Now, the new generation, they'll never understand that because – that's not how they're wired. They're wired.
Not all of them, but you got to think about why they're wired that way, right? We were taught nose to the ground.
Yeah.
Give that company everything you got from the generation that had it easy. They put their nose to the ground and the company took care of them, right?
Yeah.
Man, you've got a whole podcast called The Forgotten Working Class, right? And has anyone reached out to you? Does anybody from where you used to work, have they reached out to you? Have they seen how you're doing? Have they, no. you know what I mean? Exactly. Right.
That's what it is. Right? It's so I've actually had numerous conversations with multiple people have been hurt at work. And that's what happens is that, you know, you give these companies everything you can give them, your yep. life, everything. I mean, everything's taken from you, your family time, time from working on your own house, working on your own cars, whatever it is, you dedicate almost all your time to your job, especially yeah. blue collar jobs.
Yeah.
And then you get hurt.
Next man through the game.
You're just a number. They push you aside and they get someone else to replace you.
Yep. Next man through the gate.
Yeah. That's why we went with forgotten working class, because yep. that's what happens. You get pushed aside and then, you know, no one understands how that other person feels. You, yep. you know, we deal with the mental side at work. But I'll tell you, get hurt at work, and then you think right now that you're missing time from your family. I've lost 5 years. The first 3 years was of recovery was absolutely terrible. You had pain. I was out of my mind because of how much medication I was on, how much pain I was in every day. I didn't want to be here. I told my wife multiple times that if I would have died that day, it would have been a lot easier. It would have been so much easier to die.
Yep. For because her now, too. For your whole yeah. family. You're worth more to your family yeah. dead than you are alive. Right? Not emotionally.
Yeah, no.
Value, like physical value, but monetary.
After dealing with all that and then not being able to go back to that career that you absolutely loved.
Yep.
You crushed me. Like mentally, I didn't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
And thank God, you know, my wife is who she is. And she pushed me and pushed me and pushed me to get out of depression, to start social media, to start talking to people about, you know, let's start the podcast, let's start an apparel company. Yep. So that really helped me get out. And I mean, yeah, I think mental health is huge to talk about, especially in these jobs, because there's a lot of guys walking around right now that, and I had a guy on our podcast say this, that the number one lie that we tell every single day is walk into a store and somebody walks past you and said, hey, how are you doing? And they say, good. How are you? Good.
That was the guy going through the divorce, isn't it?
Yeah. Are they really going? Are they good?
Yeah.
Are they not good? What is it? You know,
that was the guy that was going through his divorce, right? He found out he had another kid and yeah.
Yeah.
I listened to your show.
Yeah.
I listen.
But that's what it is. It's you ask someone, hey, how are you doing? I'm doing good. How about you? Yeah. Are they really doing good, or are they just saying it to?
Well, also in that same sentence, Gord from the Second Act podcast, he'd probably want to talk to you because, like, you know, guys that started out doing one thing but are now completely shifted to another, you know, they're on their second act. You know, you'd be a good guest on his podcast. And he said the difference between like a conversation like we're having and one that just keeps on floating by is you walk by someone, hey, how are you? Good. Or good and you. And that and you is everything, right? That yeah. and you opens up the floodgates, right? And out yeah. comes a whole ass conversation, right? And yeah. Gord's an amazing human being. He lives down the road from me. He has, or down the highway, I guess. He has his own podcast and it's an incredible podcast. And, you know, what you were saying about, you know, how no one's checked on you and whatnot, you know, that's not intentionally. We all get busy, right? The company, maybe not so much, but, you know, when I left the job that I was just at for 7 years, right, I built a brotherhood with those guys. And, you know, we're together every yeah. day. We work in the oil and gas industry, so we pretty much live together, right? So we're with those people day in and day out.
Your family.
Hang out after work. We do everything together, right? And I left that job 2.5-3 months ago, and I'm on another job now. And when was the last time I heard from any of those people, right? We were together for 7 years. We talked every day. On my days off, we talked. We were together at work. We talked. You know, we'd hang out after work. When was the last time we talked, right? When that person Crazy. Is no longer a part of your realm, when they're no longer, you know, you're yeah. forgotten, right? And yep. and I don't hold that against them. I've done that. I had a coworker who, you know, I see him often enough now, but outside of work, you know, we don't talk. He got fired last year, right? And he was gone. And, you know, we were all a little upset about it for a little while. But outside, once time passed, I didn't talk to him for months, right? And he's like, man, you're just going to move on like that? And I'm like, bro, don't try to make me feel bad about it. You're my brother still. If I see you on the street, we'll high five. We'll talk. We'll shoot the shit. You can come over for a fucking barbecue. And he has a couple times since then. But I'm sorry, but during this time at work, I have to on task, present on what I'm doing so I don't get hurt, so nothing bad happens.
Exactly.
And yeah, time marches on, my man. I'm sorry.
That's what it is. It's,
you know what?
You're 100% right. It's
you
know, I don't have any hard feelings about the guys that didn't reach out and stuff. I get it. At work, there's no time for that. There's no time to sit back and be like, I wonder how, you know, so-and-so's doing.
Yeah.
No, the job, it has to get done. And that's all you're focused on. And you're right. You have to focus on that because you can't focus on anything else because you get hurt.
Yeah, man.
So I get it. And, you know, everyone, they have to keep doing what they're doing. They have their own lives. They have their own families. It is what it is.
It is what it is, man. Exactly, dude. There's no hard feelings. I know that they still think of me, right? I know that. I'm a hard dude to forget, man. I get it. I wouldn't. Dude, they think of me at night when they're about to go to bed, right? They got a poster on them. Nah, probably not. But they.
You we got still, posters?
I should make some posters. Should make some? Cross posters? I tried to make a calendar.
Right in the man cave.
Dick yeah, Cross. I tried to make a blue collar calendar a couple years ago. I was inside the loader bucket with I was gonna just,
Don't let me forget to tell you after. Remind me to tell you the story because what you just said about a calendar.
Yeah.
Okay. Go on, but don't let me forget that.
We should do a men blue collar calendar. Right? So I was mad. Laying in a loader bucket on my side, like this, right? And like I had my high viz on and whatnot, and I'm young in this one. This was like 10 years ago or more, right? Like 12, maybe 12 years ago. And I'm like, fuck, that is sexy. The loader is in the back. I'm laying in the loader bucket. The loader bucket's suspended off the ground a little bit. I'm like, I could definitely get in trouble for the way it looked, right? But I thought, man, maybe I should make a blue collar calendar or a Dick Frost calendar. Like it's definitely a thing. Maybe we'll spend the next year doing it. But like
I say, we do it. I'll do it with you.
I'll do it with you. I know there'll be tons of people that are down to do it, man.
I'm so down.
So down to do it. And then you sell the calendar for $20 or whatever like that. You're not making money off of it. Like,
bro, let's do it. Let's do it.
You get like the side profile of the scar and shit like that. You're just like, you know, like wear a blue body seal. Thumb. Wear a body thumb, you know?
Ooh. Oh, shit. Like
Borat.
Borat.
Very yeah. nice.
The green one, very nice.
I had a series on TikTok called Terry's Office, and I walk in my boss's office every day and I annoy the fuck out of him, see how long it takes him to kick me out of his office. And usually it's like within 30 seconds, like get the fuck out. Right? One time I put it out there that I wanted to do it in a body thong, and buddy's like, I got you. Amazon that shit. What's the address? I'm sending it. And I'm like, buddy, honestly, there's so many women that work in that office. I don't want to get fired. It.
Yeah, HR would have a field day with you.
Yeah, they sure would. So he sent me
over to our office.
Yeah, so he sent me one of those inflatable dinosaur costumes instead, and I did it, and he didn't know what to think. The one time I did it on his birthday, I walked in and just my boxers, and I was like, hey, happy birthday, Mr. President, you know? And he's like, get your goddamn clothes on and get the fuck out of my office, right? And like, it's on there, man. And no, it's talked about still, man. The guys from the East Coast and people that didn't even know my TikTok existed were like, dude, you're fake to him. They're like, dude, you're famous. You're in this guy's videos, man. Like, and it was a whole series, and I was running out of ideas on how else to do this. So I dropped his brother-in-law off at his house one time, and he's napping on the couch, and I walk into his house, right? And I'm filming him. And he had just got up to go to the bathroom. And when he comes back out, he looks around. He's like, what the fuck? Get the fuck out of my house, man. Hey, like, how the fuck did you get it? I'm like, yeah, let's see how long it takes Terry to kick me out of his house, right? And right? And, oh, dude, it was great.
Get it away from me, please. Now he's at my fucking house.
Yeah, man. Like it was funny, dude, for a long time. Some of them are staged, obviously, because you know it was it became a thing, and Terry became a thing, man. And I stopped making them. And then one time, like even after I wasn't even working there anymore, I call him up, right? I have him on speakerphone. I'm like, hey buddy, just called to say hey. And he's like, you don't work for me anymore. Get the fuck off my phone. And then he, you know, Terry was great, man. You know, one of those bosses that would shit down your throat if you deserved it. Stop.
Oh, yeah.
Stop on your back. But fair. The moment you needed a pat on the back or needed someone to talk to, the guy was right there. But that's super awesome. Angry. You know, like super angry if he needed to be. One time, one of our coworkers pissed him off, and he was in the office. We were out in the shop. And you could hear him yelling and screaming all the way in his office through the concrete walls. And like his face, I could just imagine his face, right? He comes storming out of his office, screaming on the phone, goes outside into his truck, starts his truck. You could hear word for word inside the shop while he's in his truck. You could still hear him going. And then he comes back in and he's like, I need a cigarette. And then he has a smoke just right down, right? And like, what a man, good boss to have. One of my favorite bosses.
You get him riled up,
you make him mad, then you say some real awkward shit like, hey, you're pretty cute when you're angry. Doesn't know what to say. He just says, whatever, and walks away, right? Like, you know, like just shit like that, man.
You need a boss that's really going to give you shit. That is going to get on your ass, because that's all you want, that. Man.
I need that. You know,
I do too. That's chaos. I work best in chaos.
Same. There was one time where I was like 45 minutes from the shop on a job, and I did a half-ass look, thought I saw what I needed was in there, but it wasn't. I get away and get to site, and I'm like, hey, I had to call him. But we knew, my coworker and I knew, right? We looked at each other and I'm like, who's calling him? I'm like, I'm not fucking calling him, bro. That's on you, right? And he's like, no, you call him. I'll get the next one. I'm like, all right, whatever. So I call him. I'm like, hey, forget. And I told him, he's like, then he loses it. He's like, maybe if you spend more time doing your fucking job instead of doing your fucking TikToks, maybe if you poured as much time into your job as you do fucking TikTok, you this wouldn't be a thing. And I was like, whoa. All right. And he hung up on me. Everybody knows that the best way to piss me off or really, really hurt me.
Hang up on him.
And he hung up on me, right? And then he calls me back like 10 times, and I don't answer it. I'm sulking, right? Like, I knew I was being sucky about it. I didn't answer the phone. He gets there with what we need. He's like, oh, now you're going to be a pussy and not answer your phone after I yell at you, huh? I'm like, didn't even see it, man. Meanwhile, I did. I was, I'm like, I don't want to be a part of that.
I didn't see all those calls.
And he's like, are we good? And I'm like, yeah, we're good, man. Whatever. It's all good. And then I went, he's like, make another video with the truck in the background. And then because it had the logos and shit, right? I got his work out of it. Right. So yeah, it's like, make more videos with the truck in it and leave me alone and do your job. I'm like, okay, man.
We'll do pump my business and leave me alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, pump my business up a little more. Yeah, man.
Jesus.
I don't want to take too much more of your time, buddy.
I do have to. All right. So all right. I do have something to jump on with you on this okay. Calendar.
Okay.
Situation. Okay.
Let's do it.
So, did I tell you that I'm public speaking? I'm doing public speaking now.
You didn't tell me that. No.
Yeah. So I actually did. Went out to Arizona. I spoke for 6,000 employees.
Good for you.
Awesome. I mean, you want to talk about like emotions to get in front of, and we had to do three different shifts because the building that we were in only held 2,000 people at a time.
Wow.
Which in my head, when they told me that, I was like, oh, okay. You know, 2,000 people, that shouldn't be that much, you know, whatever.
Nah, fuck.
Nah, dude, when we got on the stage, they started piling and I was like, oh shit. Like,
you don't see that in your videos, right? Your video gets 2,000 views. You don't see what 2,000 people look like.
Look like, yeah. You or if you're on live, you're like, I got 5,000. Yeah.
Yeah. This is holy shit. This is a lot of people.
So they started right? coming in, dude. And it was just like, oh my God. Like, this is a lot of fucking people. Yep. But we were ready. I was like, let's do this. You know, let's do it. So we did the first one. Awesome. To sit there and everybody was dead silent as I talked. I mean, everyone, not a peep. And then I had men crying. So it really like hit me too, because I was like, damn, this is like, it's hitting people. Like, this is the message is getting out there. But in my speech, you know, I talk about how being hurt and not being able to go back into the mining industry, you know, how it killed me. And it made me not feel like I was blue collar anymore because I can't be in it. So it hurt. So the second speech I did, you know, I'm talking about that, get done with the speech. And my thing was I wanted to shake as many hands as I could of the men and women there. So I did. I got down and I, you know, you got 2,000 people you're trying to shake as fast as possible. And I had this one guy, and big shout out to him. So he come up to me and he said, hey, brother, I just want you to know that we here still see you as our brother in the blue collar industry.
Heck yeah.
And I was like, dude, that means a lot. And he's like, so I have something for you. And only blue collar men and women will understand this, because my wife was like, why are you like, because it almost brought a tear to my eye. And she was like, I don't get why that made you emotional. I was like, because you won't understand. This man handed me a hard hat sticker.
Okay? Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Not just a hard hat sticker. This is a hard hat sticker that he had Christmas pictures done of him laying in a Speedo propped up, bro. And it was, you know, it's a small sticker, but I was like, dude, this is absolutely hilarious. And I was like, big shout out. His name was, I believe it was Cody, but they call him Chody. He said, that's because they yeah. call me Chody because that reminds me of Chode. I'm short and wide.
And, he's and
he was awesome, but big shout out to that dude.
I was mean, he Mexican?
No, he's a white dude.
Okay.
But for him to do that, I you know, that meant a lot. And my yeah. wife was like, it's a sticker of a dude that's like half naked. And I was like, yeah, but that's like, that's yeah, the joke yeah, behind crazy, it. It's, man. Yeah. It's so crazy. I put it on my hard hat. Huh?
I got hard hat stickers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll I send put you, it on,
you. Definitely send me one, because so I yeah. bought a new hard hat for all the places that I go and speak. That we're putting stickers on, you know, kind of like a, I don't know what you'd call it, but to show everywhere we've been. Yeah. But I put his on there too. So yeah, if you send me, I'll definitely put that on there.
That's huge, man. Dude, congrats on the public speaking, man. Like, you know, I know when, like the first couple episodes of your podcast, your Tiffany was on there and yep. she, you weren't on there. And she said, he's just warming up to the idea of talking publicly mm-hmm. and coming on this podcast and talking, and you can see the evolution of you, man. You've gone from like shy and bashful and like, you know, kind of reserved to like now you're like, you're out there, you're talking about
yeah.
it, and now you're doing public speaking, man. That's huge. Like, congratulations.
So, yeah, so I've always liked to talk to people.
Yeah,
I've always been easygoing, easy to talk to. I know, I like to talk to anybody.
Yeah, man.
That's my personality. I like to have a good time. I like jokes, all that shit. But to talk in front of crowds and in front of a bunch of people that I really don't know has always been very strange to me.
Yeah.
And I think being in the hospital and going through all of that really helped me not to feel like embarrassed or like shy, because I can't tell you how many people in the hospital saw me butt ass naked.
Oh, yeah. Your humility.
You know, like after doing all that, like shitting on the bed.
You hey, know, bro, I just after shit. All, come in and have a conversation with me, you know?
After all that, I was like, what would I have that no one has already seen? Like, what is it that someone's going to look at me and be like, you know, what do I have to worry?
Yeah.
Why am I going to be shy about it? So that's how, you know, after doing that and after Tiffany really pushing me into it, that's when I was like, all right, I got this.
I had my appendix out a few years ago. I had my appendix out in 2017. I had my appendix out January, just the day before Donald Trump's inauguration the first time. Right. Okay. I wanted to be out of the hospital in time to watch the inauguration. Right. And I was, I made it home. But my daughter, I was off work for a few months. And during that time, my daughter was conceived. Right. You know, I had a lot of time off. Right. And yeah. My wife's like, so I'm going to get on and I'm going to do all the work. I'm like, par for the course, babe. You know, like it's usually you anyways. I'm just here for the fun. Right. And I had my appendix out. And I'm laying in the hospital room next to a guy who just had gallstones, right? Kidney stones, whatever they are.
Yeah.
And we're both sitting there. We're all high as a kite. He had his surgery first. I come back. I had mine. We're both high as fuck. We shoot the shit, talk, and giggle all night. Nurse comes in. It's a male nurse. He comes in, and I had to go to the bathroom, right? I had to learn how to get off the bed using my elbows and shit because I couldn't. I had no abdomen power. And I'm going to the bathroom, pissing blood and everything. I come back and I couldn't put the sheet back on myself, right? So I'm sitting there buck ass naked, you know, my balls are just hanging out. And he comes in, I heard him coming in and I'm struggling to get the sheet over, right? And he's like, how's it going, sir? And I'm like, ah, fuck it. You've seen it all anyway. I just leave the sheet, right? I'm like, fuck it. I know, I wet white flag waving, you know, I give up, you know, fuck it.
You see that's all you can do.
You're Asian. Yours is smaller than mine anyway, you know? So like, we're good. You know, fucking, so like, it's how we're talking and I'm just thinking like, how is this guy like dead ass having a conversation with me right now, looking at me while my balls are hanging out and he's just
right. Dude, like, they're a different person.
They're a different breed, dude. And I ask every time I go for a massage, I'm like, hey, I'm hairy back there. You know, like you don't care. And like, oh, I let out a fart because I'm comfortable or something, and they just keep going. And I'm like, to have that much like composure to just be chill,
bro.
Balls are hanging out in front of your face, or a hairy back is there, or maybe there's a mole or a whitehead or something that needs to be popped, and you're still doing your thing. The things you're willing to do for money is mind blowing,
bro. So in the ICU, like the worst part of the hospital, right out of my coma, like the first week, I say. I could barely move, let alone like I could stand up and stuff, but I still couldn't go to there's no bathroom there. So when I was in the ICU, I was like, oh my God, I feel like I have to shit. And they're like, all right, go ahead. And I'm like, where's the bathroom? They're like, oh, you can't go to the bathroom. You just do it here. And I was like, where? They're like, in the bed, just shit. I was like, what? Like, who does that? And they're like, go ahead. It's perfectly fine. So I'm like, all right, fuck it, whatever. So shit. I had a male nurse that was training another male nurse come in, and he had to clean it. And dude, you want to talk about like feeling less of a person?
Horrible.
For them to roll you on your side, wipe your ass, do all that, and then clean it. The worst part about all of it, bro, after he was done cleaning it, they put sheets on while you're on the bed. They flip you around and do it all while you don't ever come off. So I was like, this is crazy. Worst part, after he was done, he rolled me back over. And the way he rolled me, I shit myself. Just right there again. And I was like, bro, I was like almost in tears. I'm like, I'm so sorry. And he's like, why? And I was like, why? Because you just cleaned everything and I just shit again. And he was like, It is what it is, bro. He was like, who cares? And I was like,
yeah.
Okay. You guys are something. You guys are legit. Big shout out to the nurses and the doctors because they are a different breed. I mean, certain people can do that.
I got a question, and it's like, how much more time do you have? Because I know you said you had to go somewhere. I just want to talk about one more thing, but if not,
I got a little bit longer.
All right, so I saw one of your videos that said like you can't really sweat anymore, right? Out of that,
yeah,
right. And yeah. I saw the video where you know putting moisturizer, it just sits there. Right. It doesn't moisturize. It doesn't sink into the scar or anything like that. And it's like lizard skin. Right. Like, it's
yeah.
Like when you see lizards around Florida, do you be like, same.
What's
bro.
Up, homie?
Twins. What's up, homie? What's up? What's up? What's up, cousin?
You know, all like, the iguanas running around. I'm like, what's up? I'm one of you.
What's that like? You know, not being able to sweat it. How do you condition? Like, how do you like, how's your body cool itself down now?
Oh, man, it's hard. So working alone, I've always been outside. So here in Florida, you know, it does get hot. The humidity is what really gets you.
Yeah.
But I was always outdoors, always outside at work, outside for hours on end. So once I got out of the hospital, I was like, I have to get outside. I've been in a hospital for 2 months. I'm going to go to my backyard and I'm going to clean up because I was like, I got to do something. So my wife is like, okay, let's get out. We'll get some fresh air. And yeah, within an hour, I had heat stroke. Had to be rushed to the hospital.
That's horrible.
So the heat travels, you know, it comes out of your head. But with all the scars that are all over me, the scars don't have any pores anymore. So they don't sweat and they trap heat. So I overheat a lot quicker. It took me like 2 years to be able to go out and fish for a couple hours without overheating. Now I've gotten to where my body is getting better, where I can go out most of the day and have a good day. But I mean, if it's a really hot day, like this last past summer was rough. And to be out, I have to find somewhere cool after a while. I can't stay out long enough because I don't sweat. And I overheat and then it's like I'm miserable. But to cool down, it takes a good minute.
Fuck yeah. No, that's... Yeah. That's wild, man. Watching you put it that sucks. Moisturizer on there, and then you could just, after a few minutes, just wipe it all of it off.
Everyone's like, you could put lotion on your skin. I'm like, no, it don't work like that. So to
soften it up, all this.
Is it yellow?
No, it's like the tint.
It's the lighting. Oh, it's the lighting. Gotcha.
Yeah. But see how it looked?
Yeah.
So it really looked human. It's all down. So
out of the hospital, that was like really raised. And the other way to soften it and like put it down flatter was laser. And I did 7 sessions of laser and bro, it is fucking painful. They're burning holes in your skin.
Yeah.
And I mean, it does like a square like that big every hit. Like, have you ever seen like tattoo removal?
No, I've never. I watched Sons of Anarchy tattoo removals, and that's those different. Guys, they like fucking take a low torch to it, right?
Yeah, I did that one here.
No.
Oh. Burn that tattoo off.
But no, like laser tattoo removal. If you ever see that, times that by like 1,000. Like their laser when it hits your skin, it's like bow 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 bow. It's wicked loud. It's painful, but
yeah,
you can move afterwards. It loosens the skin up. So yeah, people always say, why don't you put some lotion on it? So finally we did a video on it because I was like, I don't think they understand that lotion will literally, it doesn't seep in. It just sits. You can wipe it right off afterwards.
Man, this is the most fun I've had talking about lotion. And, you know, I've had some fun with lotion. So, you know, like it's, you know, I got my own lotion stories, but not like that. My lotion, like, yeah. Like, that's incredible, man. So once again, where can people find your podcast? And how many episodes in are you?
Ooh, I think Tiff said that I don't know. We're up there. It's like 70-something.
Man.
I think it's like, yeah, it's like 70-something right now.
Got anything big planned for 100?
I don't know. We'll have to see when we get there. We'll see. We'll have to figure something out. I know we're going to do this calendar situation.
Yes, we're doing
it. We're definitely doing that. That's going to be
the 100th episode for me passed, right? We came and we went, and I made it such a big deal for like the last 50 episodes coming up to it. I'm like, oh, we're counting down to 100, right? And I had plans for it. And you know, the plans didn't go the way I expected them to, but the way it ended up was better than I could imagine. We had Gord from the second act on, and we just did like a review sort of how the last 50 or the last 100 went and what I learned and coming in. And then, you know, what was wild about it? Episode 100 came and I was gearing up for 101, 102, 103. And now it's like, see you at 150, see you at 200, right? You know, it was kind of wild how that happened and looking back on it, right? You know, I can't believe how fast that went. Oh, episode 100's here. Make a big deal about it. But it was just another episode in terms of the show, right? It came and it went. And now we're trunching forward or marching forward. That's
right. You just gotta keep going.
Yeah, man. It was pretty crazy how, you know, how we set these expectations and we climb that mountain and then it's like, "Hey, now what?" Right? 101
over 200.
No, let's go to 200, right? I was trying to get Mike Rowe on for 100, and it didn't happen. So
I just seen that he was on somebody else's podcast.
Joe Rogan.
No, it wasn't Joe Rogan. It was some dude that worked for – he has his own podcast, and the guy worked for – Tiffany sent it to me. He worked for
– he was a nobody?
Is it Brunt? Brunt's the Boots?
Oh, Brunt Walker, yeah.
He works for them, and he has his own podcast, and somehow he got Mike Rowe.
Man, I've been messaging and emailing and tagging him in everything for over a year, man. You know, like, whatever. Hey, no, good for that guy. You know
what? Yes, absolutely.
A win for one person is a win for us all. I didn't get him on mine, but someone got them on there.
Absolutely.
That's a fucking win. You know what I mean? I can't be jealous of that. You know,
I want to get Jesse James on.
Jesse James. Who's that? What, like the
Jesse James, bro.
Like the magician? Who's Jesse? I know the name Jesse James. Is he a wrestler?
Fabricator. I mean, Jesse James, the dude can build anything.
Like West Coast Choppers?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to get Mike Holmes. I don't know if you know who Mike Holmes is. I reached out to Mike Holmes. Holmes on Holmes. He's Canadian. I'm trying to get.
That sounds familiar though. Mike Holmes.
I got my Dave Marciano from Wicked Tuna on. That was cool.
That's dope.
That was cool. That took me over a year to get him on. I had to go through National Geographic to get him. And then the person that I was in contact with, they got moved over two different positions. So I didn't hear from them for months. And then I messaged again. And they're like, oh, I'm not that contact. I'm no longer the source of contact anymore. You got to go through these people. And then once we got permission, they wanted to be a part of it. I said to Dave, because Dave follows me back on Twitter and he has forever. And I said to Dave, I'm like, we've got the permission. Why are we waiting for these people? He's like, fair enough. Let's go. So we did it, and that was last year. So, like, you know what I mean? So, like, it was why we didn't wait, and good thing we didn't.
That's awesome. Yeah, I had Butterbean.
Butterbean? Build the boxer. That's cool.
Which was super cool because, you know how TikTok is, that you'll have all these fake accounts come into your stuff and commenting and all that. So I was actually on a live, and I was just talking about, you know, this and joking with people and stuff like that, and all of a sudden, you know, Butterbean's in there and he's starting to talk and everybody was losing it in the comments. They're like, oh my God, it's the real Butterbean. It's really him. It's not. I was like, but is it? Like, I've seen so many fake accounts of different celebrities and stuff. So I was like, if it's really you, would you want to come on our podcast? And he was like, yeah, I'll send you my information. So he did. And we called him and it was him. And I was like, holy shit. I mean, that's awesome. Like, he found me and then wanted to come on. So he was awesome. And I also had Richard Rawlings from Gas Monkey Garage.
That's cool. I'm trying to get the guys from Junkyard Resurrection on right now. We text. We've been talking back and forth. They're just super busy.
Yeah. Right?
And that's cool, too.
Hell yeah.
You said that Sarah person. Is that Saltwater Sarah?
No, Stephanie.
Stephanie. Shit. Okay.
So, she works in the oil fields.
Fuck, dude. Stephanie Smudger?
Yes.
Roger Stephanie? Yeah. Yeah, she's coming up. We were trying to get her on last week. We're trying to make schedules work. I'm gonna reach out to her after this.
Yeah, awesome guest.
Yeah, I'm gonna she crushed it. She's never done one before. She said you were her first, right? You popped Carrie, good for you.
She was awesome.
Yeah, dude. When I first asked her, she said she wasn't interested, right? And then she's like, hey, she reached back out a couple weeks later. She's like, hey, I didn't know what a podcast was. She's like, I've been looking into them. She's like, I'm interested now, if you'll still have me. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I still want you. And then yeah, I know who you're talking about now. She's out of the Midwest somewhere.
North Dakota.
Okay.
So we were talking in our thing. She was like, so I don't know if you've seen on one of her videos. It's I've never seen anybody put a hard hat on and then skiing goggles.
Okay.
So I was like, you know, tell me, what's your reasoning behind that? She says, you know, North Dakota, it gets down to like -50, -60 degrees. And you go outside and your eyes will freeze shut.
They will. That's Canada. So I was like,
fucking wild. So, you know, as she explained that and everything said and done, we actually stopped recording because she killed it. But we still had a conversation after we stopped recording, and she was showing me like the oil pumps. So she got out of her car, and within, dude, like 30 seconds of talking, her eyes were just pouring water and you could see them starting to harden.
Yep.
And I was like,
I'll show you what my mustache looks like sometime. I'll show you why I got the nickname Dick Frost. Why I gave it to myself, but I'll show you why. I was steaming. I was steaming wellheads, and I had to stand downwind from it because there were some important people upwind. So to stand downwind from it, and I had a 3-inch layer of ice around my hard hat. I had icicles hanging off my glasses. My mustache was just a block of ice. My raincoat. I had to take it off like a sweater because it was frozen. And when I took it off, it stood up on its own.
That's right? Wild.
Dude, it gets retarded cold, dude. It's insane. It's insane. Like, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, right? And that's just it, dude. And, you know, that's what I'm going to be excited to look back on when I'm retired, when I'm old, and tell my kids, this is what I did. These are the conditions I did it in. And I have video and pictures and everything for you guys to look at. I'm there's a song that's like, I'm taking all these pictures for my kids, so when I'm dead and gone, they'll know what daddy did, right? I'm taking all these pictures and videos for my kids, so when I'm dead and gone, they'll know what daddy did for them, right? For them, for, you know, I'm doing it because it makes me feel better, the videos and the podcast.
You want to show your kids what you did. I mean,
yeah, man.
I show my son like the stuff I worked on, so he understands that I've always told him about blue collar, you know, what I've done and worked on, welded and stuff. So he's learning little by little. He'll see tractors and stuff. He'd be like, you work on that? Yeah. No, not that small. It was a lot bigger.
A lot bigger. Mining? A lot bigger.
A lot bigger.
I don't want to take too much of your time. I know it's in Florida. It's getting on almost noon there, or past noon now.
Yeah, it's like 12:26.
Yeah, I don't want to take up too much more of your time here. I got to get Christmas shopping, actually. But, yeah,
boy, you're running a little late on that.
I just got home for days off, man.
That's true.
I was gone for this one was a shorter hitch because, you know, we shut down for Christmas. But Mount Rushmore, I like the end of the podcast. You know, Mount Rushmore has four of the most influential people on it, right? If you could have your own Mount Rushmore, four people that you look up to, inspire to be, or that have inspired you, who would they be and why? And they could be fictional, real, not real, doesn't matter, dead, alive. Mm. And I'm really excited to ask you this, because out of everyone that I've had on, I am curious to know about your answers. I know who one is for sure, and I know who maybe two would be, but like, I'm curious to know like who and why.
Oh, that's a hard question, man.
You
who
can
would I pick to be on a mountain?
Yeah,
like, four people inspire me the most.
You show me four people that you look up to. And this goes for anybody. You show me four people that, as a person, that anybody looks up to, it tells me a lot about you as a person, right?
That's hard. I don't really know. I know that one would definitely be my wife.
That's exactly who I thought you'd have on there, right? She stood by you through looking like RoboCop, bro.
Yep. She would definitely be up there.
Lizard Man. And she's like, yeah, I love that. Yeah. You know, I love you. If anything, the scars make me, yeah, baby. She's probably, I don't know if we can talk about her or not. It probably fires her up. It probably gets the juices flowing. You know?
But she'd probably be definitely my number one. I don't know. It's I don't really have like somebody that I truly look up to. Parents wise, I've never really looked up to. I've never really had any big role models.
Same.
You know, so I don't know, but it's hard because I would say my biggest inspiration, believe it or not, would be from a lot of my guests on the podcast, especially the ones that like have been through something. To listen to them and their stories have inspired me to keep doing what I'm doing and really do push me to be better and better myself. So it's hard to just pick one. I would have to, I have multiple people from my podcast that I would love to put up on a mountain. Like truly amazing people that really do inspire me. Just keep doing this.
See,
that's hard. It's hard to put it out there, man. I don't know.
That was a good enough answer, dude. I was excited to ask you because I knew your wife. I knew Tiffany was going to be up there.
Yeah, Tiff would definitely be number one.
I want to have you back on when Tiffany can talk too, right? Because I want to get her perspective from it all too. You know,
absolutely.
I want to be like, hey, you know what? Like, this is, you know, what I've had to go through because she's been your rock. Who's been her rock, right?
Yeah.
And because that had to have been hard on her as well, absolutely. Right? But like. Your answer, as much as you might not think it's good enough or whatever, the people that you've listened to and have inspired you to keep doing what you're doing, that is huge in itself, man. You know what I mean? Like,
it's true though, because, you know, doing this, yeah, it was helping me really heal, like going through my own issues.
Yeah.
But then when I start getting people on that are going through something right now, or they did go through something years ago, like more than I've been through, to talk to them and listen to what they've been through and to hear how they're doing in life, or, you know, they're still going through a hard time, it really does inspire you to, it humbles you right off the bat, but it really inspires me to keep doing it.
Hell yeah. I love that, man. I love that. Yeah. That is incredible. You know, Ben, thanks for coming on the podcast, brother.
Absolutely.
Like, love your story. And I knew from the moment that I saw, like, you reached out to me to come onto your podcast.
Yeah.
Who is this guy? So I went down and I looked at your stuff and I'm like, oh my God, I want this guy on my podcast. Yes. I want to go on his. I'm always down to go on someone else. I'm always down to go on someone else's podcast.
No, I love this. This is my but first I want
time. This guy on mine.
This is my first time ever being on a podcast.
Shut up. Really?
No, seriously.
Really? I popped your cherry.
You're the one. Yeah.
Are you bleeding heavy right now?
It was nice and soft. You did good.
I did good.
Fuck you, God. Were gentle.
You know what? My wife says I'm mediocre. So, I mean, like, you know, this is perfect. This is great.
Yeah, this is my first one. I loved it. This is awesome.
I know I can get carried away sometimes. Someone told me once to go soft and easy and go gentle, and I didn't listen. Right? So, you know, yeah. So, you know, and my wife is always like, hey, that shit's mediocre. Thank you. I'm like, yeah, and I'm glad I went gentle on you, man. No, this is crazy. Good. Dude, before I ever even had a podcast, I'd gone on two or three, and I thought, you know, that's cool. But there was one podcast that I went on in particular. It was Gord, the Second Act podcast, that really got me interested in doing it myself, into it. And then a podcast I'd been listening to for years, the History of the 90s podcast with Kathy Kanzora. It's the history of the 90s, the decade that changed the world. And I listened to her podcast for years before I started my own. Last winter, I reached out to her. She answered back and I had her on mine. Right. And
that's, dude, super cool.
It's a blue collar podcast and I like to network with other podcasts. We don't even have to have a blue collar connection. Her husband worked in oil and gas and I didn't even know it. Or was it her brother?
Dope.
Someone in her family word was blue collar and it worked. We had that connection, right? And you know that it's been an amazing ride, dude. And you know what, here's to the next 100 episodes.
Absolutely.
You know, it's absolutely. I can't wait.
We're gonna definitely have to get on another episode,
man. Up until 100, as I inched closer to 100, I was trying to have different people on without having a repeat guest. And it wasn't until episode 69 that I had a repeat guest, right? It was a guy that I had on before. And I'm like, you know, who cares? This is my podcast. Who cares?
Yeah.
Right? So since then, I've had four or five guests come on that had been on before, right? And that's another guy you should have on, Grayson Magaha. He's out of North Carolina. He is not in the blue collar world anymore, but he was factory work and blue collar night shift for 20 years. He did night shift for 20 years.
Jesus, bro.
And he did
years of night shift is rough.
He's used his social media platform to get the hell out of blue collar and so he can watch his kids grow up, so he can pursue his dream. So ask him how many people that he's talked to since he's left blue collar from where he worked. I guarantee you it's the same as we were talking about. None. Right. Because once you're out of sight, you're out of mind. Right.
And you have to send me his info.
Oh, I will. He's got over a million followers. He's big. He's a big dude. Yeah. He's got over a million on TikTok. He's got, he's probably 500,000 on Facebook. He's got, I think he's pushing a million on Instagram too, man. He's crazy.
Yo, that alone right there, bro. Instagram is so hard to get followers.
Oh yeah. Well, I've got, I think it's like 56 over on Instagram, 56k.
Damn, dude.
Before he hit a million anyways. Him and I go live together all the time on TikTok. We met each other. He was still pretty big. Like, he was still half a million, but like, you know, I can't remember how we found each other, to be honest with you, but we've become good friends, man. I love that guy. He is my first repeat guest. He was episode 40 something and episode 69. Right. And
to get a repeat guest, I mean, it happens because you get those guests that you vibe with so good and you're like, dude, you want to do it again?
Oh yeah. Well, each time was over 2 hours. It was like 2 hours and 45 minutes. Every time we live stream, we have so much to talk about that we haven't talked about before. And every time we do a podcast, we don't talk about the same shit. I get on the phone with that guy. I get texting that guy and we could talk forever. Right. So, he's just an amazing guy, right? He's funny. We feed off each other, you know, and we get into these good conversations. His wife's cool. He likes talking to my wife in the background. He's never seen what my wife looks like, and I've never seen what his wife looks like. She's just a background voice that like chews us. Like, his wife will cut him apart and my wife will cut me apart, and we just banter like that. And oh yeah, man.
That's awesome, bro.
Hey man, I appreciate you coming on. And at the time of this recording, by the way, it is just before Christmas, but I think this is coming out in the new year, like first episode in the new year. So happy new year to you.
Happy new year to you.
Happy new year to you, sir. And thanks for coming on, brother. This has been a lot of fun. And, you know, next time you come on, we got to get Tiffany, right? We got
absolutely. Yeah, I'll tell her.
And we'll talk more about that calendar.
Dude, I'm so down. So down. Yeah. I think we should do it all men. And we should see if we can get certain guests that we've had on our podcast to do it.
Corey Rockwell, number one.
Definitely
love
Corey.
That guy. Have
him do the underground shoot. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%. You can have Lane do it with the drone.
Yeah. You've had Lane on too, man. Lane's an incredible guy, man.
He was awesome.
Not far from me at all. And Lane is Lane is interesting. You know, he does a lot of that drone work, and he's used his social media to climb the corporate ladder. Yeah. Right? It's incredible watching that.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked having him. He was awesome. Awesome guy.
Yeah, man.
Corey was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Absolutely. Thanks for coming on, man. We're going to do this again. You go do your thing. I'm going to go start my Christmas shopping.
Yeah, go get that done, man.
I'm going to go get it done, man.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
Like, that's why I'm pounding back the energy drink right now. You know, like,
you need it,
dude. Yeah, I just started getting into these things. I just started getting into these things, and Bang Blue Raz is one of my favorites. It doesn't quite send me to the moon, but it gives me that oomph, right?
I like the bangs.
Yeah, I like the bangs. And good. In America, you guys are crazy because we're capped at 180 milligrams of caffeine in Canada. That's it. They don't let it go. You guys have up to 300 or 400.
Yeah, right?
They cap us at 180. That's it. We're only allowed that. Yeah, for health reasons. And Canada's crazy like that. And
America, they don't care.
Yeah, they don't care. Hey, you're paying for your health care anyway. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's what it is. You guys aren't paying for it.
The monsters, the first time I had a monster, I didn't like the way it made me feel. The monster sent me to the moon, right?
Yeah.
And not even in the whole can. It was like a quarter of the can in, and I'm like, you know, like ready to go.
it's like once in a while I can drink a Monster. Like this morning I actually had one, and I haven't had one in months.
Yeah.
And it always just gives you like a, I don't know. I'm not a big fan anymore. Back when I was working,
yeah,
I could slam a couple, but then when Bang came out, I like them a lot better.
Yeah. My favorite right now, I got into the Rains. I discovered Rain. Rainbow Sherbet Rain.
Yes. That is the gummy bear.
Yeah. Oh, the white gummy bear.
Yeah.
I've been in the oil and gas industry for 13 years. I've been blue collar since I was 11. It took me 23, 24 years to get into energy drinks. And, you know, I've been realizing I don't even drink coffee, man, until recently. I've been realizing that, you know, I've been raw dogging life this whole time. And like everyone else is like, it's not me being a little sluggish while everyone else is like, oh, I'm taking on the world. No, 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 bro. You've been doing it the whole time, man. I've been doing it fucking my own energy. You've been cheating. You've been taking fucking nitro boosters.
Do they carry the C4 drinks?
Yeah, they're C4 ones. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you had one of those?
No, I have not.
Ooh. That'll fucking make your face tingle. It's a pre-workout. It's what it is.
Yeah. Well, so is Ghost. I've been taking the Ghost ones. I had a Ghost one not long ago. I had their Sour Patch Kids ones.
Yeah, that made my stomach hurt though.
Yeah,
I felt like it was way too much sugar in it. I tried the zero sugar ones. That's why I like
only drink zero sugar. I only drink zero sugar.
Dude, the C4, your face will be tingling. You're like,
you know, took me almost 20 some odd years to understand we're built on caffeine and rage. Yeah. Right? Before it was just rage for me, right?
Yeah. Now nicotine, it's caffeine. Energy drinks.
Yeah, I don't. Anger. Did you know right now, the energy drink industry is a $98 billion industry.
I could see it. Yeah.
$98 billion. And in the next 10 years, that's set to grow to over $200 billion.
Which is crazy.
Billion with a B, man. That's insane.
So there's certain ones which I'm not going to say the names of certain ones because I don't want us to get in trouble for anything. Any slander or whatever, you know. But I have seen that. I watched a whole video on certain ones, not the one you're drinking and not the Rain, but other brands have like, the amount of chemicals they had in it. They were going through. Yeah, they were going through that. One of them had like 10 times a dose of, I forget what it was, but it was like, you should not, like in a year, you should only have like this much. And that can alone had like 10 times a dose. The guy was like, it's killing people and no one realizes it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I took a picture of me. I've never tried a Red Bull for one. I put it out there the other day. Which flavor of Red Bull should I try first? Now, my wife brought me home a watermelon Red Bull the other day, and I'm afraid to try it. I've heard Red Bull tastes like piss.
I don't think it tastes like piss, but I mean.
It's sitting in the fridge. It's sitting in the fridge.
The watermelon one's good.
I do one a day. That's it.
You only need that. That's it.
I refuse to go over that. And even then, I'll go a few days without having one, right? Like that last week, I went like 3 or 4 days without having one. And that's because, you know, I don't want to become that hooked on it. I don't want my body to rely on it for energy.
Yeah, you don't want to be dependent.
So the Rain is up there for me. But the Red Bull watermelon one's sitting there ready for me to try. And I was looking at it. Red Bull still leads the way in the energy drink industry, right? Like all
that's
these
because
their online presence, their marketing is
insane. They sponsor all the fucking big dudes, you know, Travis Pastrana, all them. That's all Red Bull. That's why I think that they're so popular because their name has been out there. They're the OGs.
OGs, man. And they're still crushing it. They do everything right. I don't see these guys or any of the other guys. I don't see them, you know, putting on events. I don't see them. It's the Red Bull Crash Ice event. It's not the Bang Energy Crash Ice event. It's not the Rain Crash Ice event. I see Monster or I see Red Bull trucks still driving around.
Yeah.
I don't see Monster trucks driving around. You know, like.
Bro, you want to know what I want to try? And it's not, it's to get actually to move away from the energy drinks. I've seen a lot of guys starting to do it, and especially in blue collar, I've seen a couple of them doing it. Is the smelling salts?
I've seen that. Yeah,
they have a new one. It's a stick. I think it's like it's slapstick or something like that. It's like that big. Pop it open and people are saying like, instant, like whole over the top.
Yeah, I work with a guy who's doing that a lot, actually. He keeps it, he like shakes it up a lot, and he's like, and he's like, whoa, and he's ready to go, right? He's just,
I want to see how it is. I want to see if it's really like that.
Yeah, he moves faster than the equipment, right? Like Sonic, when did Sonic the Hedgehog come to set? Yeah. You know, like, I've seen that a lot, but he still has energy drinks too. So
yeah,
whatever. I'll try that at some point. Maybe I'll try that in 20 years down the line when everyone is over it, and you know, I'm you know, just getting into energy drinks. That's what I was gonna say. I posted a picture of the energy drinks in the family group chat on Snapchat the other day. Now my sister, she's a little sensitive about it because her fiance, they were. It's a funny story. They're second cousins. And they made a triple X rated film that I accidentally watched twice once. And the second time was for pure science. But like,
what is happening in Canada, bro?
Yeah, man. So fucking she came home after a day of shopping or whatever, and he was dead. Right. He was napping and she thought he was asleep, and he was gone. He was downing 4 or 5 energy drinks a day because he was sluggish and had a leaky heart valve, right? Is what it was. And he was downing energy drinks like no tomorrow, right? And so she blames the energy drinks for his death, right? Which probably didn't help. But like, you know, the doctor said that he had the heart of an 80-year-old at 28.
That's wild.
Yeah. And the energy drinks played a part in it. So I made a video on TikTok a couple years ago. I had the wig and it's like, that's a great joke. It's funny even, but could you not? And it's like when my sister, I told my sister, and this was a real story, the day after he died, I was trying to cheer her up with some comedy. And I'm like, so Red Bull really did give him wings, huh? And
oh my God, bro.
She laughed. She was a little upset, but she laughed. And then like a year later, she's like, hey, my boyfriend and his dad want to see that video. They think it's funny. So I sent her the video and they got a good laugh out of it. But when I showed them that I was drinking energy drinks, right away my mom and my sister were like, no, put that shit away. And I'm like, I'm sure the one drink that I have a day sometimes is not gonna kill me. Right? Here I am. My heart's the heart of an 80-year-old. I just have a heart attack and die now. And my sister just brings flashbacks. Right? You know, it's like, oh, shit.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. Thanks for coming on the podcast. Yeah. Great way to end it. Great way to end it.
I love it.
Give them wings, you know? So.
Yeah, man. We'll definitely have to do this again. And we're definitely going to make this calendar.
Well, we're making the calendar, man.
Yeah, it's happening.
We're going to take all our photos for 2025, and we're going to make a 2026 calendar. So
I'm down.
We're down. We're down that's to clown. Great. All right, man.
All right.
John, thanks for coming on, and you stay frosty.
Always.
Always, and I'll stay electrifying, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, that's me. I stay electrifying.
You stay. Hey, I got chills. It's electrifying.
That's a duo song. That's us.
Oh my God. We should do that. This is the Italian goodbye, isn't it?
Oh man.
All right. What were you going to say? What?
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay, man. Thanks for coming on, brother. You go do your thing. I'm going to go Christmas shopping.
All right, man. I'll talk to you.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Have a good one.
This feels way better after like an hour of an energy drink. This song gets me right fired up after an energy drink. Who knew?
I love it.